So, Charlie, what would you be thinking about?
You know, in somebody with an impaired performance status with pancreatic cancer, if I'm going to pursue any systemic therapy, it's going to be single-agent gemcitabine.
Single-agent gemcitabine. Johanna, what would you be thinking about?
You know, this is the toughest part, right? Because where's the performance status? What's causing the poor performance status? And I think for Philip's patient, it seems like it's his disease. So what I've started to do lately, and I've been dipping my toe in the water, because I think I used to have very much a stance like Charlie's to do the single agent gemcitabine, but I've started to become just a little bit more aggressive in a patient who understands that I'm going to be giving a pretty intensive regimen. And I actually recently had a patient just like this whose performance status was really declining rapidly, and I ended up starting him off on a very modified dose of FOLFIRINOX. And of course, N of one, right? So, but pulled him right out of the fire. I mean, his ascites is controlled, his fatigue is controlled, he's eating again, he's feeling well. So it's that kind of toss up of, do you try to use the response rate to improve how patients are feeling, sort of like what Eileen was alluding to, versus the toxicity of chemotherapy? And I think that's a very straight up conversation you have to have with your patient as well.
I was just flashing on some of the things I've heard people talking about, deciding about allotransplant and various hematologic malignancies, looking at maybe not surviving from the treatment and yet in a desperate situation. And I wonder how often the patient's perspective when this comes in. What was this man's attitude? Was he interested in taking a shot at something, you know, maybe that could be a little bit risky, but maybe getting him back on his feet? Or was he kind of just sort of leave me alone?
No, this man was someone who wants to live. And certainly for that reason, I gave him several options.
So, Randy, again, you have this man who seems to be going downhill fairly fast with pancreatic cancer, wants a shot at something, but of course, you know, we don't want to tip the
I'm really glad you chose this patient to present, because this patient is much more representative of the patient that we see in our practice than patients who are on studies. And that's the problem with extrapolating from studies, you know, particularly the FOLFIRINOX study, which was really a very good group of patients. But even anyway, this person would never be on a trial. And so I think this is much more likely the person who's going to walk in, or sometimes will come in with a walker to my office. I actually kind of agree with Charlie, and I would probably give the patient single agent gemcitabine. I mean, I have had excellent responses to FOLFIRINOX with improvement in quality of life and performance status. I'm thinking of a patient I saw last week. I've also had some prolonged benefit in quality of life with gem nab-paclitaxel as well. But this patient sounds, I mean, once again, you have to, you know, this is the art of laying eyes on the patient. But really, I mean, they're twos and they're bad twos. And then they're like one and a halfs. But if the person really, really, truly were a two, I would have a harder time giving him combination chemotherapy.
So and, I guess nobody here would give ruxolitinib. Just kidding.
No.
But
you know,
when you think about
patient,
why is this
though.
Man, yeah. Why is he ill? Why is he so sick? Mm-hmm. You know, what's going on that he, and could part of this, Philip, be some kind of, you know, paraneoplastic or cytokine issue?
That's the likeliest thing for someone who was very well for his age months ago, and now he's not doing well. But this gentleman, I looked at him with my experience in pancreatic cancer. He didn't look someone who's going to really be a performance status 3 in a week. So that made me more confident in giving him my options.
So again, Eileen, as we hear more about this case, you know, I don't know how it's affecting what you think you might do. Any thoughts?
Yeah, so I think it's, you know, it's a discussion with the patient, what they're willing to accept and what their goals are as to how intensive the treatment should be. But I would probably strike a middle road here and go with a two-drug combination, seeing that he was a relatively fit gentleman and probably has one good shot. Three drugs may be too much.
Which two?
Probably would give him gemcitabine and nab-paclitaxel.
Interesting. Rich?
So it's, I think, a sign of the improvements that we've made in pancreatic cancer that we even have options to give. And we always used to give gemcitabine with the sort of nihilism that, you know, we weren't really going to hurt them, but we weren't really going to help them, but it was something to do, and everybody knew how bad the disease was. You know, now you can even contemplate this issue of do-or-die therapy. We're going to throw the Hail Mary and hope it gets caught in the end zone. And I think if the patient is informed that they're taking a risk and that they may actually get dragged down by aggressive therapy, or they may be resurrected by it, as long as they make the decision to go ahead, it makes good sense. So I would say that a year ago, I would have said gemcitabine or hospice. And this year, I would say we have some other options if you want to go and be aggressive on this.
And he said, well, what do you think? What should I do?
I would sort of judge the patient. I would judge the fact that this guy was healthy before, that his trajectory of disease seems to be rapidly downhill, and therefore it's his disease that's hurting him. When I teach fellows in clinic and I show them a liver full of well-differentiated neuroendocrine tumor and compare it to poorly differentiated colon cancer and poorly differentiated pancreatic cancer, you know, the difference in the way the patients are doing is clearly related to something that the tumor is doing to them besides occupying space in their liver. And so, pancreatic cancer, I think, does have this cytokine or whatever it is. I'm not sure we really understand what it is that makes people anorectic, makes them fatigued, makes them really distressed. And if you can reverse that quickly, you can pull them back from the edge.
So what specific regimen do you think you would likely be using?
You know, I would give the person a choice between single-agent gemcitabine and FOLFIRINOX in this setting, and I probably would dose-reduce the FOLFIRINOX a bit in the first cycle.
So I didn't hear nab-paclitaxel in your answer.
Well, you know, I've not actually given nab-paclitaxel, and I have to say that the fact that it's a gemcitabine-based therapy gives me less confidence in its resurrection powers.
So I'm curious, just from a practical point of view, Charlie, I mean, why would you not add nab in to gem? Would you be concerned about toxicity in this man?
I think the point that's been made by several folks here is you have to see the patient, right? The bottom line is the trials that we're talking about don't apply to somebody who's ECOG 2 because they could not be enrolled. And so I think if in your clinical judgment you think this is somebody who's ECOG 2 but isn't rapidly deteriorating and is in fact ECOG 2 because of their disease and potentially a response will resurrect them, then sure, I think you could contemplate adding nab-paclitaxel to gemcitabine or doing some dose-modified FOLFIRINOX. And the devil's in the details. You've really got to see the patient.
Yeah, I was thinking when you talked about the modified FOLFIRINOX, what they call RVD light in myeloma now for the older people. Like, give them the same regimen, they just start real low and start to go up.
But,
Randy?
But the differences are, you know, you brought up hematologic malignancies like aloe and things like that, or even myeloma. Those patients do much better. And so what you're talking about is that if you win, then you've won big, or at least with aloe transplant, or maybe with myeloma, you've hit a double or something. And what we're really looking for, I mean, even, you know, the best option for this guy, whatever, if he does well, the chance of him being alive a year from now is really small. And the chance of him being alive 2 years from now is real small. So I don't want to oversell, you know, even though we're always happy when people have responses, I'm very happy when the patient feels better, and we all have patients like that. But I think we have to understand what the long-term outcome for these patients are, as opposed to hematologic malignancies, where you're willing to push harder because the benefits are greater.
Although, again, putting myself in this man's position, maybe I'd be thinking to myself, wow, if I could just feel good again for 6 months, it would be incredible, even if I did end up dying in a year. And anyhow, maybe just briefly you can talk about what happened.
Just briefly, he did have a DVT just before we started treatment, so we put him on the low molecular weight heparin. I did give him three options of gemcitabine versus nab-paclitaxel, but also modified FOLFIRINOX. In my practice, I do the UGT1A1 routinely, and I modify the dose of the irinotecan accordingly. I do that in all my patients, so that gives me a bit more control over the irinotecan. He chose to go on gemcitabine and nab-paclitaxel. His albumin to start off was 3.1. That, to me, is another very important thing I look at in my patients, including the absence of ascites. After the first 2 months of treatment, he had a CAT scan which showed stable, possible improvement, but after four treatments, he started to have progressive disease. So I switched him to the SWOG second-line trial that we have, and he was randomized to receive the FOLFOX arm. And he felt the FOLFOX was better tolerated than nab-paclitaxel.
What's the randomization of the trial?
It's the S1115, which is a randomization of a MEK-AKT inhibitor combination versus modified FOLFOX-6.
So he's currently, how is he feeling?
On the modified FOLFOX-6, he thinks he tolerated better than the gem-paclitaxel. The schedule of gem-nab-paclitaxel, I had to change it to every 2 weeks in the second half of his treatment because of the blood count control. We could not control the blood counts even with dose reductions.
Interesting.